Say it ain't so, Joe. Here comes the colonel.
Yes, of course, of course, of course. We can tell that it is election time again because Sarah is still hanging around. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, thank you. Appreciate your comments. Yes, as always, welcome back to the second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host, as always. I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to get back to the guests we have here in the second half of the program, Carl Bloomfield with Intertech. He's an expert on lighting, and of course, Intertech is the testing organization worldwide, and he's a pretty fascinating guy. We want to know more about organic lighting. And of course, that works right in with the Global Humanitarian Technology Conference we've been telling you about, scheduled for Seattle, Washington, October 21st through the 24th of this year. You can learn more about that at our website by going to promiseoftomorrow.biz, and over on the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link to that. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set to answer today's query.
Welcome to the Fountain of Useless Information. How can I help you?
Yes, we have now summoned the spirit of the fountain, as always. Threw in a few coins, yes, and comes the spirit, who knows all, sees all, hears all, and even tells all for a price. All right. Oh, Spirit of the Fountain, here's one for you. As the world traveler that we know you are, oh, Spirit of the Fountain, what letter appears in the cold water tap in Frankfurt? And I'm not talking about Frankfurt, Kentucky. What letter appears on the cold water tap in Frankfurt? Oh, Spirit of the Fountain.
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the others.
Aha! The old Spirit of the Fountain once again has come through with the answer to the day's query. Yes, the letter that appears on the cold water tap in Frankfurt? Why, that is the letter K, of course. For cold. All right. Back to our regularly scheduled program. And when we broke at the half hour with Carl Bloomfield of Intertech, wanted to know more about OLEDs, organic lighting, lighting from actual organisms. Carl, what do you have on that?
OLEDs are also the next, you know, that's the next trending thing that some are trying to push. It's another form of, it's organic, so it's a next form of lighting that's being proposed. But definitely for today, LEDs is one of the forefront in terms of lighting source. Now, at the same time, you mentioned CFLs. One of the things that occurred when CFLs first came out, the compact fluorescent, was that your light quality wasn't lightning in kind. I remember that when they first came out, early adopters, I myself, you'd buy one, and then it would take you 10, you know, you could leave your room and come back before the light actually accomplished the true intensity. Mm-hmm. So throughout the years, you've seen where standards have been written to try and minimize the effect that, hey, depending on whose CFL I buy or whose lighting product I buy, I get a different light color, light quality, or how long the light takes to come on. So one of the beautiful things that I see occurring in 2011, late 2000s, early 2011, and future, is that as new technology comes on, you're seeing specifications being written by all parties interested in the light, in lighting, to make sure you can have a like in kind. So it doesn't matter which brand I use or where the product is made, when I flip the switch, we all want the light to come on the same way an incandescent bulb did way back. Unfortunately, when CFLs first came out, you did not have that consistency in terms of the how soon it came on, how long it would last, and the light. If I bought one brand versus another brand, the color might be off a little bit. So, and this is where labs like Intertech and others are involved in trying to establish benchmarks to say if the light is identified as a warm light or a cool light or whatever the acronym might be, you're supposed to expect a certain type of light output, a certain that you can now correlate back to what you had when you had an incandescent bulb.
So the history of the incandescent is out of here. CFLs eventually are going to totally disappear, and it's all going to go to LED until some new technology comes along. Is that what we're looking at?
I would say you're seeing manufacturing, like everything else in the U.S., you're seeing manufacturers and inventors come up with new products that make existing products more efficient. So incandescent, as it was 10 years ago, yes, I would say that type of incandescent is on the way out based on legislative rules that are being enforced. But you see new technology that are, you know, that are coming out to make those like old products designs more energy efficient. CFLs, I do not think are going to be gone tomorrow. You would probably see a shift from where I'd say, hey, if you said 10 years ago, 80% was incandescent and 20% was CFL or whatever the portions might be. You're going to see where now LED products are starting to have a larger portion of the marketplace. It does not mean it's going to be 100% LEDs, but you are definitely seeing where LEDs is trying to replace every light source that exists, whether it be your standard Edison lamp, your ceiling troffer that you're in your office, street light. You're starting to see LED technology show up. But there are certain instances where the HID light source, a CFL source, just provides a more beneficial lighting for the immediate application. For general consumption use, yes, you'll see a transition more towards majority being LEDs, but you'll still have those niche markets where other light sources are still needed.
Well, the LED is light emitting diode is the most efficient use of electricity of any of these, isn't it?
Today that is the best that we have based on testing that's being conducted from an energy efficiency point of view. But you're seeing manufacturers of CFLs try to reinvent or redesign the CFLs to make them more energy efficient. So you're seeing where, because of the legislative rules that are, the rules are not saying you cannot use you can't use this type of lamp. They're more being written, at least in North America. In other countries, yes, they're very verbatim, can't use incandescent, et cetera. But some of the new rules are saying, hey, these are the parameters that you have to meet. And however you accomplish the parameter, if it's LED-based or another light source, so be it. But here are the energy efficiency claims that we want to meet. LEDs today are definitely one of the primary methods to get to that light output. And keep in mind that the LED technology is rapidly evolving. It's rapidly evolving. So LEDs are changing in the blink of an eye. We're talking today about LEDs. I'm sure during this conversation, someone just came up with another type or more efficient way to make an LED product. It's a rapidly moving technology, but it will not be the only technology as manufacturers try to find more lighting types or more lighting sources that can meet the parameters that are being specified, whether it be by the federal government or by your utility or by programs like Energy Star or similar.
And Intertech is very active in this. Would you kind of explain to us a little bit what Intertech does and a little bit about the company?
Sure. Intertech is a large testing and certification organization. We are based around the world, and we are involved in testing to industry specifications, so testing to standards that exist for both safety as well as the performance of products. So in the lighting product line, we are certifying products for the North America and throughout the world, and also we're heavily involved in energy efficiency of lighting products, such as what occurs with Energy Star and other programs that exist today.
Okay, and so you're a nationally recognized testing laboratory. Now, what is that exactly? Does that mean the manufacturers then send their products to you for testing?
Well, a nationally recognized testing laboratory is an acronym that is driven by OSHA. So, in North America, for example, you have labs that can conduct testing. You yourself could set up a lab and say, "I'm going to test a product." However, a nationally recognized testing lab is another level of assurance that OSHA does to make sure all the labs are meeting the same minimum criteria. So the acronym nationally recognized testing lab is OSHA-driven to show that these labs have met the minimum requirements as defined by the OSHA government and the government.
Yeah, but Intertech is different from the other nationally recognized testing laboratories, and you're going to explain to us exactly what your difference is.
Sure, definitely. Well, when it differentiates, and so you set up with a national recognized testing laboratory. We all test to the same industry standards. What differentiates Intertek from our other competitors, or what we try to differentiate ourselves from, is our overall customer service and our overall the focus on speed to market. And then last but not least, the fact that we provide a global capability. So just to summarize that is we're all testing to the same standards. The standards define the pass and fail criteria. Example, a lighting product must meet X lumens efficient or whatever it might be. But where we differentiate ourselves for manufacturers is, okay, how fast can I get my product tested, get it into the lab and get it out of the lab? The actual test time we can't differentiate because that's standard driven, but we can definitely differentiate based on the queue time to start it and the queue time to get the product certified after testing is completed. We also we leverage the fact that we're a global company. We're in over 100 countries, over 30,000 employees, and what that means is that we can provide a true one-stop shop. So a manufacturer that wants to go global, for example, can come to Intertek and one of our laboratories, and the products goes to one lab, and we can test the multiple different standards for different markets throughout the world. And the other portion that I think differentiates Intertek from similar competitors is some labs do only performance, so that's the efficiency, the Department of Energy, Energy Star requirements. Some labs are involved in the OSHA and RTL. Intertek's involved in all. So we're not just one. You know, there might be three, four different items that a manufacturer needs. Intertek is able to provide all these different services all at one lab.
Okay, so you operate all over the world, but we found you at Arlington Heights, Illinois office. Is that right?
That is correct. That's where I'm based out of, Arlington Heights, Illinois.
Okay, and the importance of third party testing, that's so that the manufacturers can't kind of slip something past OSHA. Is that the reason?
Well, the main thing behind third party testing is to make sure that all, you know, the tests are like in kind. So whether it be intentional, like you just mentioned, slip something by, or it might be accidental, the idea behind third-party testing is if you go through a third-party lab, they're all supposed to test the same way. The interpretation is supposed to be almost identical. So that way, if a manufacturer chooses a test lab A or test lab B, there's no preferential results based on which lab you went to. They should all be the same. The test and procedure should all be the same. The test results should be very similar because it's all based off a standard. A non-third party not necessarily has to meet the same criteria as a third-party lab. So their instrumentation might not be as accurate. The accuracy factor might be off by 0.1% or 0.1% or whatever it might be. And so you could end up getting different results, not necessarily intentional, but it could also be unintentional just because the equipment doesn't meet the same level of scrutiny as it does at a third-party national recognized testing lab.
Well, this fast-moving lighting industry must be quite a challenge then for Intertek, because you're the testing company, so you've got to stay on top of all these things. And my goodness, I mean, this has got to be a day-in and day-out chore of studying the marketplace and working with manufacturers. How do you do it?
I will say that, first of all, you have to start to make sure you like what you do. So luckily for me, I've been in this for almost 16 years, and it is exciting to be involved in the lighting industry. There are a lot of passionate manufacturers, designers, associations that are involved with that. American Lighting Association, it's a very enticing industry to work within. Yes, it's rapidly changing, and that's where organizations like Intertek, where I say our size, the fact that we're based throughout the world, allows us to have resources all throughout the world that helps us to stay up to date with what the latest technology is. I myself am global, but I rely heavily on my team in Europe, that they're involved with the standards and the development that's happening in Europe. In the U.S., you're correct, there's a lot of meetings, associations that are being held to talk about the latest technology. There's one trade show after another, one conference after another. But definitely, I must say, the fact that we are heavily based throughout the world, we have a team in Asia Pacific region that actually is involved. A lot of the BRIC countries are trying to develop more energy efficiency requirements. Once again, the fact that we have a team on the ground to stay adept as to what's happening definitely helps to make my job easier. But you're correct. It is a lot of meetings, a lot of associations, a lot of conferences, and it helps if you like what you're doing. That's a definite thing.
Well, I'm told you can give us some tips for manufacturers to get their products to market faster. What sort of tips can you offer?
I would definitely say, because the technology is changing so rapidly and hence standards are being developed or modified accordingly, it's important to partner with a test lab that can help you facilitate getting your product in the marketplace. Manufacturers sometimes are, you know, when you start with manufacturing, you're going to start off with your designer. Your designer is trying to design a product that is cool, that is going to be the next gadget that someone likes to see. Mm-hmm. Then you also have the usability. Does it actually work the way it's supposed to work? But then you have that portion of it that, hey, can it actually be sold in the public, sold to the public because of rules that exist? And so it's important that when designing products, not to think certification or test and last, but to have that at the forefront, because that should be part of your design criteria, because you could design the best product, the most energy efficient product, but if it does not meet the different industry requirements, either in North America or around the world, you probably can't get it to the marketplace. So definitely want to partner with a test lab that can help to make help guide you along with the regulatory requirements from a safety standards or performance standards that exist.
Now, you mentioned LED, but you mentioned another one. OLED, did you say? Can you explain to us what is OLED?
But basically, if you think about your lighting products today, you have a ballast, or you have a bulb, or you have something that takes electricity in, and then you connect a light source to it, and then that gives you your light output. Well, OLED is basically where now it's organic, so I can actually put electricity to organic compound, and it illuminates light in. And it's pretty neat technology. The problem that occurs today is it's not able to provide the same level of light output as you're used to from a bulb or something larger. But the main thing is it will now provide creativity in your light source. So like I mentioned, a paper. Some of these products that are out are paper thin. So think of a sheet of paper. They provide electricity to that paper and it illuminates. Think of what you can do with something like that in the future. It won't obviously work for all applications because it just can't generate that amount of light in. But what you'll see is you now have flexibility in your light source. If you're in your house, for example, and you only need mood lighting, or you're in an area where you just need a light source, but not a bright light source or something similar, that's a great technology where it's not consuming a lot of electricity, and it does meet a function. So OLED, once again, I am not the most expert at this, but it is an organic light emitting diode, and it is providing electricity to an organic compound, which in return emits light. It will allow another version or another option for lighting your space. It won't be the primary source, but it will be yet another version of the lighting community providing intelligent lighting.
So Intertech has to migrate from the old way of doing it with the incandescents to then now be able to test lighting from organic substances. That it just has to be incredible, and you guys must be really, really, really nimble to be able to handle all this.
Well, as a test lab, we can only focus on what is current. We have to focus on what's future, because when the products do show up, the manufacturing community wants to test them right away. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have to try and be adept at what's coming up next as best as we can, because that's really what differentiates. That's another thing that differentiates us from smaller competitors is it's not, okay, hey, this product exists for the last 10 years. Please test it. It's, hey, I have a brand new product. No one else has seen it yet. Please sign my NDA because I have a new technology, and oh, by the way, I want it certified or I want testing done. So yeah, our engineering staff or our entire Intertech community has to try and stay adept of what's the next product to show up, not necessarily what's out today and is being mass produced. And lighting in kind, one of the beautiful things that I'm seeing in the industry today is the effect that lighting controls will have on the lighting industry overall. You know, today we're so focused on hitting the light switch, you know, turn the light on, hit a switch. Well, in the future, you might be controlling your light from your cell phone, from your laptop, from whatever it might be. But it's that overall change in trend that you're seeing where of intelligent products. I think lighting is going to be one of the next intelligent products that you see out there in the immediate future. I think one of the things that's out there is, as and we kind of talked about it briefly, the fact that, hey, what do manufacturers need to talk consider when getting their products to the marketplace? I would also like to add one last point to this, is that today, unlike in the past, the lighting industry is turning into a global marketplace. Mm-hmm. In the past, due to technology, right, your incandescent bulb operated at 120 or 130, but it was designed more for unique countries. So the light fixture for a light bulb for the U.S. would be different than a light bulb for Europe, primarily because of voltage involved. Hence, the lighting fixtures, the luminaires themselves, you were not able to ship one product throughout the world with one design just because of the technology. The beautiful thing about LED technology and some of the emerging technologies is that they now offer a switching mode type source. So it's a wider input voltage range. And you're starting to see products that now can be sold not just for one marketplace but throughout the world, which helps manufacturers, you know, minimize your inventory, so to speak. That is definitely should be a factor to consider when trying to pick a lab, and that also should be a factor to consider when designing your products, that as the emerging markets develop and as these products, the technology allows call it a universal product to some extent, you definitely want to think not just maybe one state or one country, but try to think about, hey, can I ship this product to Canada? Can I ship this product to Europe? Can I ship this product to Asia with my design? Having a global test lab, having a true partner at your certifications needs and your performance needs can definitely help you to navigate the global market for lighted products. That's one thing I'd like to make sure that's addressed for manufacturers, because it's another avenue or another market to get your products out there to.
All right, our lighting guy with Intertech, Carl Bloomfield. Thank you so much for being with us today. All right, before we get to the voice of reason, we want to remind you that this award-winning program has been non-commercial since 2010 and wholly supported by independent interests in the emerging science community and contributions from listeners like you. It is your support that keeps public programs like this one on the air. Donations are gratefully accepted at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On behalf of the staff and management here at the Science News Radio Network, our deepest gratitude to those of you who've contributed. Thank you.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Ultimately, as a nation in the U.S., we have to create new things from nothing that we want to sell. So we want to sell it to the whole world, and we want to be exporting material just as much as we want to import things. And we want to export the high-value products such that we all have very high-quality jobs and can maintain the standard of living. And I think our youth that comes out of high school or is in high school should really think hard that if they learn science and technology, they will have a strong job opportunity rather than studying the softer materials, the softer sciences. And I think it's very important for our nation to become again an exporter of, or continue to be an exporter of high-tech technology and remain on the forefront. I think it's absolutely critical.
My name is Gerhard Klimek. I'm a professor of electrical and computer engineering at Purdue University. I'm also the director of the Network for Computational Nanotechnology, which hosts a community website called nanohub.org.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you. I